Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to The Powerful Patient. I'm Joyce Graff and I'm delighted to have you with me again today. Well, today we're going to talk about a very interesting topic, and that is going outside the United States for medical care. The costs in the United States are getting higher and higher. The insurance coverage is often poor, and there are a lot of people who are underinsured as well as people who are uninsured. And there's now a widening market of other countries that would welcome your business. But you have to choose one carefully, and that's something we're going to talk about today. I'd like to remind you that this show is brought to you each week by the VHL Family Alliance, and I'd like to play you some information about VHL, and we hope that you will help support the VHL Family Alliance and this program. We bring you interesting topics each week for people who have complex medical conditions, and we define that as anybody who's talking to more than one medical specialist is dealing with some sort of complex illness. And that's often something that you wind up having to do a lot of work on because the doctors, the two specialists or three, don't necessarily talk to each other, and you wind up having to do a lot of facilitation of communications amongst your doctors and also making sure that things are not falling through the cracks for yourself. So there are some tricks to learn on how to manage your health when you're dealing with multiple specialists. And we hope that you'll give us good ideas for topics and join us whenever you can. Today we will be taking calls. You can either call in to speak your question on the air, or we have a chat line on the internet at Powerful Patient. So the call-in number is 347-237-4358. I'll read that one more time, 347-237-4358. So please do submit your questions so we can add your thoughts into the show. So here's a word from the VHL Family Alliance, and then we'll be back to talk with our guest.
Von Hippel-Lindau disease, or VHL, is a genetic condition involving abnormal growth of tumors in some parts of the body. VHL occurs in every ethnic group worldwide. At this time, there's no cure, but research is helping those afflicted and their families learn how to manage their disease. When a family member has a tumor, it affects everyone in the family. VHL Alliance works to improve diagnosis, treatment, and the quality of life. Finding tumors early, getting the best treatment, and sharing information with others to help them cope is what VHL Alliance is all about. They're available to help lessen the stress of living with this lifetime chronic disease. Support the Cancer Research Fund of the VHL Alliance at VHL.org. That's Very Happy Life, VHL.org. 1-800-767-4-VHL.
So that's VHL.org, and we're always looking for assistance in helping to find a cure for VHL as well as in the day-to-day challenges of managing our health. So today I'd like to welcome our guest. We have with us Alex Lifshitz from São Paulo, Brazil. Hi, Alex.
Hello. How are you, Joyce?
Fine, thank you. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
I understand you're with a company called Sphera International?
Yep, company is Sphera International, and we are one of the main medical facilitators, internationally speaking. We have offices in the U.S., in Brazil, and in Europe, specifically in Spain.
Uh-huh. And in Brazil, they don't speak Spanish, right? They speak Portuguese.
Yeah, we speak Brazilian Portuguese, which is a bit different from the Portugal Portuguese.
Uh-huh.
But Spanish is spoken in the other countries in South America, and we're the only basic exception.
Right.
And but, you know, something a lot of people here, due to schooling and everything, have a very good knowledge of English. And we're obliged here in our schools to have English, French, Spanish, so on. So we're quite, we do quite well in languages.
Great. Great. So, and Brazil is a very big country, too. It's considerably larger than the U.S., right?
Yeah, it is. We don't have as many inhabitants as you have. We have approximately 200 million now. Most of them, we have a very extensive coastline. I don't know in terms of miles. It's over 8,000 square kilometers. And most of the big cities, a few exceptions, are located in the coastline and mainly in the southeast of Brazil. And obviously, you know, and your listeners must know, we have the big rainforest, the Amazon, and it can really tell you it's quite an interesting country and very exciting also.
Yes, very, very exciting. And it's in the southern hemisphere, which means that the calendar is sort of upside down. When it's fall here,
upside
it's
down, right?
Brazil. Yeah, we're just beginning to get into fall in the U.S., so that must be it's about springtime in Brazil.
You're right, that's it. But, you know, there's not that, that difference in here in Brazil, and you can't separate like you do, you know, exactly the four seasons. In São Paulo here, where I live, we have basically, we can have the four seasons in one day, you know. But it's not too bad. We don't get snow. We don't get the terrible cold weathers or the extremely hot weathers. And we're lucky, I think. We don't get, all the storms, the hurricanes. We don't get earthquakes. I think we're quite good in this part, the climate-wise.
Right, and so it stays pretty moderate all year round, right?
Yeah. São Paulo it does. You know, Brazil is. You can't generalize as the whole country. You know, the city of São Paulo, which is the main city of Latin America, we have almost over 20 million inhabitants in São Paulo. It's quite moderate temperature. Always, it's about 800 meters high, the city, above sea level. And at night, even in summer, we get some very cool breeze. And it's very pleasant. So we never get the extremes. Rio de Janeiro, which most people know, is sea level, can get quite hot in summer. But it's not that bad.
So in a city of, did you say 20 million people?
Yeah, a bit over 20 million, right.
So just so everybody hears that, because it blew my mind when I first learned that. In the city of Sao Paulo, there are 20 million inhabitants, which is approximately the population of Australia or Canada.
Yeah,
so
probably.
In one city, you have as many people as in the whole country of Canada.
Yeah, Brazil, São Paulo, the south of Brazil, is very well developed. It has nothing to do with the north and northeast, where it's a drier climate. And, you know, you have to think of São Paulo. I would imagine for your listeners, imagine a little bigger, larger New York City.
Yes, right. So for that big a city, obviously there is a great need for medical services for the people who live there. And so there must be some pretty big medical centers.
Oh, yeah. You know, this is one of the areas that Brazil and mainly São Paulo developed. You know, it's the last 15 to 20 years, there was a huge development. I don't know if you know, the first hospital out of the USA that had the Joint Commission International Accreditation was a hospital located in São Paulo.
Hmm.
It's called the Albert Einstein Jewish Hospital, and it's very, very nice, considered one of the best in the world. And there has been a lot of things going on in research and development of in practically all medical aspects.
So tell us more about this accreditation, because this is something that I think is very important for people who may be considering going outside the U.S. for medical care. You want to make sure that you're going to a hospital where they are practicing good procedures and are going to do a very good job for you.
Okay. Yep. You know, this is one of the main concerns because, you know, people don't know much about Brazil in the sense, in medical aspects, you can say. And
right.
Brazil is one of the countries out of the U.S. that has most hospitals who join commission accreditation, which is the major accreditation for quality of standards of healthcare. And it comes from the USA. I mean, your best hospitals are all Joint Commission accredited. And there are many, many hospitals in Brazil, most of them located in São Paulo and some around Brazil with Joint Commission. And besides the Joint Commission, we have hospitals accredited by the Canadian. There's a Canadian accreditation. And just so you know, there's a Brazilian accreditation, which is not important internationally. Not many people know about it. But it's a very, very tough accreditation, you know. So this is one of the reasons why we had this huge progress in the quality of medicine here.
Uh-huh. Very good.
And, go on. Sorry.
That's okay. I'm somewhat familiar with the Cancer Institute in Brazil, which is doing great things throughout Latin America, not just exclusively in Brazil, and as a matter of fact, they are co-sponsoring the International Medical Symposium on von Hippel-Lindau disease in October. So I'll be going down for 10 days in October to this conference.
Oh, okay. Thanks for telling me. I didn't know that.
Sure.
That's great.
Yeah, no, the head of the tissue bank at the Cancer Institute is the chairman of the conference. José Claudio Casale da Rocha.
Well, you know, Brazil has, you know, we've been going a long way in oncology, which is cancer. We have fantastic improvement in cardiology. We have some of the main transplant programs around the world, organ transplants.
Really?
And, yeah, we're very, very good in bariatric surgery, and I'm trying not to speak of plastic surgery because traditionally Brazil is the leader, world leader in plastic surgery, you know, and this is normal here for us, so I think this is what we're famous for. I think Brazil is famous for its plastic surgery, and but on the other side, we have, you know, so many fantastic programs with dentistry. With dentistry, Brazil is the country that has most dentists in the world. We have great programs for human reproduction. And the most important is orthopedics because of soccer. You know, our orthopedics here, procedures are very, very good, very advanced for hip and knee replacements, for spinal fusion. And the good part of this is the after surgery, which, you know, is to get the people walking quickly, you know, getting them back to shape. We're very, very advanced in that. And, you know, bariatric surgery, I know that's weight loss surgery, we're also the leaders, actually, in the world. So there's many information that, you know, we have to still get into many programs like yours to inform the people of the advances of medicine here. You know, I think it's a very important thing you're doing. And basically, you know, I'm really pleased that my company today is in the front line of international health travel. Everything, you know, Joyce, everything is being globalized in the world today. I don't have to tell
right.
that. And why not medicine, you know? It's exactly the same. We have very good procedures, you know, in Brazil, fantastic procedures. We have very good procedures, for instance, in Europe and Spain. We have, I'm not speaking of the USA, obviously we have. And the big advantage is that health travel can not just make the people get the best treatment, but the prices are very, very interesting. You can get fantastic prices when you travel, if you study and make your correct research, and get equal or better treatment than you can get back home. And beside that, you get to travel and well, that's something very interesting. I think globalization is here to stay in all aspects of our life.
Yeah, let's just talk about the prices for a minute. So if I were going to have, some surgery that you could give us comparative numbers on, Could you give us an idea of how much you would pay for that surgery in the U.S. and how much you would pay in Brazil at a very well certified?
I'll try. I hope my memory serves me well. I'll try to let me think a bit. I'll give you an example. I spoke about, for instance, plastic surgery, okay?
Yes.
In Brazil, for instance, plastic surgery, breast augmentation, including the prosthesis, the silicone implant, mm-hmm. will cost a little under $3,000, you know? And this is, I think this is more than, I don't know how many times cheaper than in the USA, you know, because prices vary from country to country, you know. But you will not get a breast augmentation with a first frontline doctor for less than $3,000 in the USA. If you go to a gastric bypass in the US,
it's more like 10.
Yeah, exactly. I think it should be more like $10,000, $12,000, because I know the doctors charge the implant separate. I remember, and I'm trying to push my memory, the last time I saw something was around $12,000, you know?
Wow.
Yep. You have, for instance, I'll give you a very popular procedure with the gastric bypass, weight loss surgery. You can get it in the States between $25,000, $30,000, $40,000. Here in Brazil, it costs you less than $18,000, you know, around $17,000. In the U.S., you have prices ranging closer even to $50,000 for surgery like this.
Right.
A knee replacement also costs between $40,000 to $50,000 in the States. And in Brazil, it will cost you around, let's say, between $10,000 and $12,000. So if you look into that, you know, really the advantages are cash-wise are very interesting, and you get, you know, first-class treatments. And besides, you know, the Brazilian people are really friendly. They like foreigners. They like to have fun, treat people well. So it's not a bad thing, you know. People have to get used to travel, and it's not, you know, it's something to look into. It's very interesting. This is a very interesting field, very exciting field today. You have a fantastic surgery here that can come. Lots of people. I'm speaking to the ladies now, which Brazil is famous for, which is, you know, a buttock augmentation, which in Brazil will cost you more than 80% or 100% less than the USA, you know, not even speaking of complete liposculpture. And then we have all the heart procedures, heart surgery, which is really, it will go, let's say, from 150,000, closer to 150,000, I think, in the US in a first-line hospital. It'll come to about 40, 45, 50,000 here in Brazil. And I can say, we have offices also in Europe and Spain. It will cost almost a little bit more than Brazil and Spain, but basically much cheaper than the U.S.
Now tell me, if I were going to go to Brazil for one of these procedures, how does it work with your organization? What kind of hotel?
Well, the first thing,
do I get to take a companion with me or what?
Yeah, well, let me try. Hope I'm not boring your listeners and you. Let me try to put this carefully. Now, we recognize one thing in SERA is that we work in a very, very ethical field, you know. Our main concern is the patient and his safety, his well-being. You know, it's not just the travel part. It's the health part. The travel comes with it, you know.
Right.
And what we do is we try to offer all the required and necessary services to the patient. So his only concern is to make the medical procedure and get well. You know, we do the whole, we do the full hospital, you know, planning before assistance. We recommend, we suggest hospitals, the best doctors, the best clinics, labs for the treatment. We arrange all the consultations, all the exams. And we do all the hotel reservations. We even do airport reception. We receive, you would like to come, we'll receive you at the airport with an English-speaking person. Not just a driver. There'll be a driver, but you'll have a person from our office who is an officer in charge of your case. You'll have the same person in charge of your case from contact one till you leave back home. Mm-hmm. We will arrange 24/7 support services. You'll have a phone that you can call 24/7. All our staff is bilingual. You, if required, you'll have home care. You know, after the surgery, you require special attention in the hotel. We will do all the planning if you want some local tourism or some tourism packages, you know, get to know a bit of Brazil. We'll look up to your companion if you come with somebody, your family, your husband, your wife, and so we'll do while you're doing surgery, we'll look after him in activities. Mm-hmm. And basically, we have an office in the U.S. that is easy to call, refer, and we always have somebody there to speak with you. So our main concern is medical quality and safety, no? That's our main concern. The affordable price, you know, all the prices that come with this, you know, it's automatic.
Yes, and one of the biggest questions that people have about going outside the U.S. for surgery is, yes, the prices are great, but we want to make sure that we're getting a quality medical care. And then what if something goes wrong? That's usually the biggest concern. What if there's some complication? How is that handled?
Okay, Joyce, that's a question we get, you know, quite often, you know. First thing is, when we speak to a client, before anything, we give him all the curriculums, all the history of the doctors, the clinics, the hospitals, you know, so he can make an educated choice. We arrange, if he needs, conference calls with the physicians and the surgeons.
Mm-hmm.
And like in anything in life or whatever you do, there's always a possibility of an accident. You know, something can happen
sure.
during surgery. It can happen anytime. The percentage of that up to now, knocking on wood, has been almost zero, but it can happen. One of the things very good that happened lately to the business in the USA is we have specific insurance available to the client. So, you know, when you go to travel for tourism, you can optionally buy, insurance.
Right,
so if something happens
insurance.
During your travel, if you fall down, break an arm, or something happens, you have this insurance. It
right.
does not cover, obviously, medical travel. But now you have insurance programs, insurance in the USA, where you can buy a specific insurance for the procedure that you're going to have when you go out to travel and have some medical tourism.
Uh-huh.
So this helps a lot, you know, in the
right.
sense of
if
the person having confidence. Yeah, exactly.
Then you said there's a 24-hour number that you can call to,
yeah.
if you're concerned about something, you'll have someone to talk with.
Always.
And then and if you need some corrective procedure, it would be part of your package or would be covered by this insurance policy?
Definitely. You know, if something comes due to the procedure, that's all included, you know. No, we really
right.
will take care of you.
Good. So if you, let's say you have a knee replacement, and then as you say, there's some rehabilitation that's required after the surgery, how do you handle that?
Well, basically, you'll have either... No, you know, you won't stay here for 2, 3, 4 months to do the rehabilitation, right? You'll do the procedure, the surgery, then you'll head back home. You'll get all the instructions necessary for your procedure, for your recuperation period, and hopefully your doctor, your clinic, your private physician, or whichever physiotherapist in the where you live, wherever you live, can do the follow-up. You know, we can even arrange for our office in the USA the follow-up for each procedure. Now, so it depends a lot on yourself. Most of the people have their own clinic or their own doctor, their own physiotherapist, they already prepare that. We can assist them in that, so there'll be the follow-up when they come back home.
I would think, though, that if you opted not to have the surgery in the U.S., that your doctor in the U.S. might not be too happy about that. So
I don't know. You know, obviously, there's some possibility of this. You know, this was much more frequent a few years ago in the beginning of the whole health travel process or thinking about. Now, I've had several meetings with American Medical Association chairman and what we are speaking a lot. You know, in the beginning, a few years ago, the American Medical Association was very skeptical, and they were basically, I won't say against, but they were not looking at this favorably. You know, they were.
Right.
They were.
Right.
Now, if you look into the American Medical Association website and speak with the people, what they do is they say the following: look, if you want to go, if you have to go, here are some of our ideas and instructions that you have to follow to get the best care abroad. So they suggest, you know, give the questions you should ask, whatever you have to do to get the best treatment abroad. So there has been, and it will happen, it's like in all globalization, over time people get used to it, and the problem are the first, you know, the first people that try it, you know, the initial.
Right.
Then the things get simpler. And
right.
There are many doctors in the USA with whom I had meetings, associations. I don't want to say the name of the association on the air, if they want to, but they're offering aftercare. There's one association I just had a meeting, let's say, a month ago, that has about 5,000 doctors, MDs around the U.S. who are willing to give the whole aftercare. So
That's
this is
good.
All
and
done.
But I would think that it would be important to stay in Brazil until you're medically stable, until the doctor says, okay, you're okay to fly 12 hours or whatever it takes to get home.
Yeah, that always happens. When the patient contacts us and tells us specifically what he needs, we inform him exactly of how many days he has to come here before. He has to be here before, in most of the cases, at least 2 to 3 days, because he has to do the lab exams. And
sure.
We only go through the procedure, the surgery, after he has the doctor consultation. In our agreement with the patient, the final procedure is only done after the doctor, he has a consultation here in Brazil with the doctor. After
right.
that, we tell him exactly, in average, obviously, if he has to stay one night or he can go immediately back to the hotel, stay 2 nights in the hospital, and we give him a full program that he will have to stay 10 days, 12 days, depending on the procedure, before getting a medical discharge. He'll only be released to travel after he gets the medical discharge. There are some cases where he has to do physiotherapy back home, but that's after the medical discharge, you know, nowhere before that, no way.
Right, you want to make sure there's not going to be a clot or a heart issue.
No. The patient who comes with Sarah signs a contract and he knows exactly what to expect and what we can do for him, and we inform him exactly what we want from him.
Right. So this is not going to be something you would choose for a kind of urgent situation in most cases.
No.
You do some sort of elective surgery. Elective, not that it's not necessary, but that you chose to do it now. There's nothing where the medical situation was thrust upon you at the last minute.
No.
So you need some planning time.
Yeah, basically it is.
And some exchange of medical information with the doctors down there so that they're thinking that you're okay for surgery before you even come, right? And then, as you say, there's the pre-surgical double-checking to make sure that everything's in order and that there's no condition that was hiding that the doctor is going to be surprised about and not interested in doing the surgery.
Exactly, Joyce. You know, no patient comes and I'll be there the next day, you know. Normally, 99% of the patients make a plan 2 or 3 months, sometimes even 4 or 6 months ahead. They plan for their vacation time. They plan when they can have somebody with them. They do a lot of planning in this because it affords time to plan. Obviously, there are people who want to come next week, but it's not that easy because you have to go through a full process here. We want his initial medical records, then the specific doctor surgeon that is chosen by the client will want specific medical information regarding the procedure he has to do. So there's really some time, you know, that the patient has to prepare for this. It's not something that he'll do, you know, tomorrow. And we
right.
wouldn't want to do that, you know. There's also the problem you have to get the documents, the visa, and all that.
Yes, all Americans need a visa to go to Brazil.
Yep,
and
Americans
need
a visa.
Minimum
need a
of
visa
a couple of weeks.
It could take, I don't know exactly, it could take a couple of weeks. We have a company that's worked with us, associates, and can help in this process, obviously.
Yes, and I'm dealing with the embassy in Boston right now, and they said that it would take 6 days, and so far it's taken 2 weeks. So you really need to hopefully give yourself a couple of weeks to a month to deal with that. But it should be able to be accomplished in about 6 days.
Yeah, average, yes. I would say, look, my experience would say expect more a couple of weeks, you know.
Right.
Of period, you know. The problem, you know how all the diplomatic things run, you know. For instance, if the Brazilian guy wants to go to the USA, the wait for a visa could take around 40 days or 50 days. It's
really?
Not because of the it's because there's much more people wanting to visit the USA than USA coming to Brazil, obviously, for tourism, for everything. So it's just not enough, you know, hours in the day to do everything.
Right.
But
right.
But it's not a big problem. I think the nothing, you know, really is a big problem. You really have to do everything very carefully, thoughtfully, think it out very carefully, ask people, ask our company, our specialists, you know. Really get get everything, all the info you need before making a decision.
So how do people decide whether they want to go to Brazil or to some other country for such a procedure?
Well, look, plastic surgery, people automatically look to Brazil number one because Brazil is, mm-hmm. many years have been known as, let's say, the best, and it really is. The other, it's a question of, a lot of times, a question of price, where you have pricing. But there are many other questions, like, for instance, traditionally there have been people who started the process of medical travel were, let's say, the people in India. And they were followed by hospitals in Thailand and some in Malaysia. Now, it is much easier for an American or Canadian or whoever to fly to Brazil than to go to, let's say, to India for several reasons. You know, one is we have similar culture, we're Occidental culture. The city, São Paulo, the infrastructure of the city in São Paulo is something fantastic. You know, you have all the modern convenience, all the American hotel chains. You have over 80 shopping malls in São Paulo, over 12,000 restaurants. Yep. You have about.
I know Brazilians love to eat, and the food
is
wonderful.
you have, and look, in São Paulo, you have about 3 million Italians, you have 1 million Japanese, you have about 2, 3 million people from the Middle East, you have whatever option you want in food, and very, very, very good. And you don't have problems. It's a very stable country in the sense of politically speaking. You don't have any problems with, you know, like you had in India or somewhere else, you know, you don't run the risk of having a revolution or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And people are really friendly. And don't forget, in 2014, 2016, we'll have the Olympic Games here and we'll have the World Soccer Championship here. So Brazil is
wonderful.
Sort of, you know, yeah.
Now, there are some agencies that are specializing in getting information to you about the hospitals you're considering, right? There's your own, of course, but there's also things like medretreat.com on the internet. It's a medical tourism agency.
Yeah, there are a few. There's one called Cosmetic something that works in Rio. They're competitors. It's not for me to say. It's a different, it's a different concept than our company, you know? We decided to make something a bigger company. You know, we decided to have all the services. We decided to be really a multinational company. And
right.
So it's a little different in the sense of the assistance that I can provide you here in Brazil and in the U.S. There's some differences, but let's keep it at that.
There's an international association, right? Medical Tourism Association?
Yeah, there is. It's in the U.S. It's called MTA, Medical Tourism Association. There is. And there are people making medical tourism associations around the world. There are many, many international conferences here. We just had one on medical tourism here in Brazil in August.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one last month in the U.S. I think it was in San Francisco. And there was one in Venice this year and so on. There are many, many. This is a business that's really developing fast.
Right. And about how many people are taking advantage of medical tourism these days?
It's a growing industry. I can tell you that from the U.S., I think we're getting today, and we haven't even really started working hard in the U.S. We just signed a contract with a U.S. company, CPR, PR company, to develop our PR campaigns in the U.S., and we're really starting to make deals and associate with American companies. We're developing many contacts. But I would say on average, we're starting to get about 15, 20 people maybe a month, something like that, from the U.S. I think it will be by next year more than double or three times that volume by the interest we're getting.
Right. So I heard it was something like over 500,000 people last year and expected to be about 1 million people this year going from the U.S. to other countries for medical care. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I heard these numbers. I would say, I don't know exactly, I would say around between 600 and 700,000 people are doing that. Remember, this number is included many people going to Mexico for dental care, or something to Costa Rica, close by to the USA. And I would think that's a fair assumption. That number is good. And I think it will grow in the next few years. There were several studies done by major companies like Pricewaterhouse and Deloitte, and all of them are expecting a growth average of about 35% per year for the industry, which is very, very big. So the major problem of this industry is not the growth of the client, but it's how to accompany this in the countries that receive these clients in terms of service,
Right.
We have to always...
And is anyone keeping statistics on how successful are the surgeries or how many hospital readmissions result?
Really, I really... don't know. There are no statistics. I know our statistics, and thank God they've been very, very, very good, very promising, not just from USA patients. We get patients. We have the internal market here in Brazil. We have many people from the north, northeast that come to São Paulo because they don't have the quality or they don't even have the procedure there. And we have many people coming from South America. So really, it's very new, this industry. There's really no, and the statistics they are, you can't trust them 100%. I'll be very frank with you and your listeners. I think
right.
we have to go by our own statistics. Now that's the
sure.
most important thing, is how the company is developing, where it's developing, the interest is generating. And this is
right, and you need a doctor with the level of expertise that is necessary to do a good job with the procedure.
Exactly. We have to prepare for all that, and our doctors have to speak English. We had to train a lot of hospitals here to receive clinics, to receive foreign patients. We had to work with them on menus, and not just for USA, but for USA, for Europeans. We just had a very funny, I don't know if I can tell that, we just left us today a couple from England, and
mm-hmm.
the husband and wife, both of them did procedures, and the husband, believe it or not, works in nightclubs in England and does Elvis Presley impersonations.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And they just left today. Both of them stayed here for 15 days, I think, had a great time, both of them had surgery, and... it's fun. You get to know a lot of people. People get to know you. They've never been to Brazil. It was sort of an adventure, and they
right.
loved it.
Well, one thing about cosmetic surgeries in particular is that frequently afterward, you don't look so great for a while.
You take a couple of months. Yeah, that's the problem. It will take you a couple of months to really know, you know, how it worked. And the big problem with plastic surgery sometimes is the expectation of the client, you know, Joyce. Sometimes the client expects something, you have a good surgery, it's not exactly what he expected, but that's minimum. That's minimum.
Right. No, I was thinking more of the bruising, that you're going to have maybe bruises on your face for some weeks, and you might as well be out of the country where the press isn't following you and your friends aren't right there to see all the lovely bruises. You can come home gorgeous again. So that's one of the rationales for celebrities to leave the country.
Yep, and
so
they also do a lot of, how do you say, rehabilitation, you know, for drugs and things like that, you know.
Uh-huh.
Many people come for that, but we don't particularly work with that. It's an area that I don't like very much. But for plastic surgery, I would say you have to, on average, consider a couple of months, 2 months to be yourself again, looking beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with plastic surgery is people have to remember is you can't do any sun or beach after. So if you want to do some tourism, get to know some places, have, you know, not just stay indoors, you have to do that before your procedure.
Right. You know, many times you have to stay out of the sun so that you'll heal properly.
Exactly.
Yeah, but at least there are interesting places to explore that aren't the beach.
Yeah, there are many. This couple just stayed in a, they stayed on the beach but didn't go to the beach. They stayed in a fantastic spa where they had great experience, massages and fantastic meals and all that, and really gave them a, relaxed them. And it's fun. If you look at this the right way and say, look, it's a fun experience, it's going to be good. And look, with the money, because seldom people, let's say, for instance, come to make a plastic surgery, will do just one procedure. If they're here, they're coming this far, you know, taking an airplane, they will do two or three procedures at the same time, you know. So really, that's a really a money saver. Oh, I forgot to tell you, you know, we have hospitals also, which my company opened in the northeast in Brazil, a fantastic city called Fortaleza. It's on the beach. And it's a 6 hour direct flight from Atlanta by Delta. It's not that far to fly, you know?
Hmm.
So we have a great, I'm not just saying that. We have a great human reproduction program there and plastic surgery and everything. And it's quite a easy flight. And it's a direct flight.
So you do in vitro fertilization and things like that?
Yeah, we do. We do most of the procedures. You know, we do most everything that a hospital can offer. And Brazil is famous for its human reproduction in vitro, and the prices are fantastic. Also, you know, and Brazil is one of the leaders. I don't know if people are interested in that. Brazil is one of the leaders in the world in this procedures.
Hmm.
Yep.
So about how much does it cost for one in vitro fertilization cycle?
In vitro fertilization, hold on, let me think. I was just looking at that the other day. It will cost around $4,000 in Brazil and about $5,000 in Spain. And that's about $4,000 something in Brazil, but no medications included. Medication it depends on each client, okay?
Right.
But this could be another 20-25% on this. But it's much, much cheaper. If you look at, I don't know the price in the U.S.
Yeah, the price in the U.S. is about $10,000 per cycle.
It's about $10,000. And we have a great, fantastic clinic in Fortaleza. And it's a 6 hour flight, and it's cheap, and it's a very nice ride, you know?
Right. So we've been talking mostly about the high-end stuff, but I know we had a patient contact our support line the other day, and his wife had been diagnosed with bile duct cancer, and they scheduled her for surgery, and then the next thing he knew, they took her off the surgical calendar because it turned out her insurance had a $5,000 cap. Which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, that'll get you about two nights in the hospital and no surgery these days.
Yeah.
So that's a case of someone who is underinsured. They thought they had insurance until they went to use it and discovered it didn't cover anything. And so he was considering taking her outside the country for her surgery because he couldn't afford it in the U.S.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons people are traveling. And frankly, I don't think the situation in the U.S. will get much better, honestly. I think that you'll continue having these problems, and the cost in the U.S., I think, will escalate, mainly in insurance. That's my feeling, and everything
right,
we talked about in the business.
It's going to take 2-3 years to see any impact at all in it. Some of the new programs are going into effect even this month, but it's not going to be the bigger ticket items are still about 3 years away.
Yep, you're right. And that's a problem, you know, and I don't know really. I don't think everybody knows. I've been to some conferences, spoken with a lot of people, and most of them are not very, they think the cost, the pricing of insurance and all that will escalate. That's a price you'll have to pay to offer, you know, a broader, a wider, I don't know how you say that exactly in English, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Because I'm hesitating, a broader, to offer insurance to all the population or most of the people, you know.
Right.
Somebody will have to pay
right.
for that.
I mean, right, the part that's going into effect right now is that on a family's insurance plan, you can keep your children on the plan until they're 26 now instead of 19. The rule for most insurance policies was that when your child turned 19, unless they were a full-time student, they dropped off your insurance. And that's a major issue for especially people with these hereditary conditions like VHL.
Yeah.
That's just about the time that problems are beginning to appear. And so you get a young person who's in their first job, not making very much money, maybe wasn't even offered an insurance plan, but if he did, he probably decided he couldn't afford it and turned it down. And then all of a sudden he's got all the symptoms of a brain tumor, and this is a major issue.
You know, one of the
We're hoping that our young people will begin to get better medical care through this, at least through that 5 or 6 years period. And then if the insurance company can't turn people down because they have a pre-existing condition, then he will have an opportunity to become insured for the rest of his life. But right now, if you're in that period where you're uninsured between 19 and 26, and you do develop a major condition, then that's considered a pre-existing condition, and it will keep you from ever getting insurance.
Wow. That's tough, huh?
It's very tough.
It's tough. One of the things that's developing, we've been talking to several U.S. companies, representing insurance companies and representing employers, is what we call in our business the B2B market, the business-to-business market.
Yeah.
Where you will get in your insurance plan, directly from your insurance plan or from the employer, you will get the option to travel to have health care. This will simplify and make the insurance plan much cheaper. If you have an offer, you can say, look, this insurance plan will probably cost half that it will cost for normal insurance plans in the USA, if you're willing to have the treatments abroad. This is very good for underinsured people. And I know of many employers in the U.S., big companies, medium companies, and even smaller companies that traditionally, they paid for the health care of the employees.
Yeah.
And it's becoming very, very expensive, you know, very.
Yeah.
And that's they're
right.
looking for the ways out. And one of the ways out that they're really focusing on is to offer these employees the possibility of travel. They would pay everything, you know, and they would even give, you know, money for the guy or the employee, take his wife or whatever. They would pay all the expenses and even give some money to travel. And even like this, probably the company would save over 50% of its cost if it did the procedure in the U.S.
Right,
I had some statistics. I don't know if I'm boring your listeners.
No, go ahead.
People of the insurance companies in the USA, the association, This is numbers of 2008, I think, last time I spoke with them in 2009, so that's number statistical 2008. You had about 40 million surgeries in the USA paid by insurance companies. On these 40 million, there's a study that says that about 20% of this, around 8 million, could have been easily done out of the USA, and about that would be about 8 million surgeries, and that would bring down the cost and economy of over $20 billion.
Wow.
They're really, 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 to think about globalization of healthcare, it's really big numbers. And just one more statistic is, I expect by the year 2020, even a little earlier, there will be about 220 million people in the world, that means not just the USA, the whole world, that will be, because of the age problem, they'll be traveling around the world for healthcare, which is really a very, very, if you consider that, it's a really big number. And for this to happen, we have to start working and preparing ourselves now. You know, they're the baby boomers that will be over 60, you know, and they'll be in much better health than many years ago. They want to enjoy their, you know, the best time of their life and all that. And they're clever people, smart people, and they'll be looking for places to go where they have very good medical attention at a much smaller cost. So this is something that definitely is going to happen.
Right. Right. And it's becoming a competitive market. And if we let the market factors operate correctly, then some of these superior sites outside the country will do very well. And ones that don't do very well, it will become clear, the reporting and the experiences of the people who go there will be enough to hopefully put them out of business.
And look, I want to say one more thing. The U.S. is in the receiving part only. It's not only sending. You know, I think in the future.
Yeah.
I just had an experience. Now, I just came back from Russia. Had a meeting with several health authorities there and health companies. And many of them are also interested in sending patients to the U.S., you know. I think this will be a really global market. I think U.S. is always, traditionally, has been the first market to receive the medical, the health traveler. You know that. If you consider 20 years ago here in Brazil, if you had a heart condition 20, 25 years ago, you had money, you could afford it, you had to go to the U.S. You went to Cleveland Clinic or Cedars-Sinai to get the best quality treatment, you know?
Right.
And U.S. hospitals are preparing centers of excellence. So U.S., you know, it's always a two-hand street, a two-way street. Two hands, how we say here in Brazil.
That's right.
It's a two-way
and
street.
So the most important factors for people to look at are, first of all, that it's a certified hospital. Try to get some feedback as much as you can from other people who may have gone there before. And make sure that they have the level of expertise in the particular condition that you're looking for. Because, for example, with von Hippel-Lindau, it has a very rare kind of brain tumor. And not every neurosurgeon knows how to deal with it successfully, even in the United States. It's not about the geography. It's about the talent and experience of the particular surgeon. So make sure if you need to go to that level of depth that you do. Tell us a little bit about the transplantation program.
Well, the transplantation program here in Brazil is for people coming from abroad. If you have a live donor, you can do it here in Brazil. I mean, for instance, you can't do, if you're American, you need a heart transplant, you can't do it here in Brazil because Brazil is very strict, you know. There's very strict medical laws and everything here. So the heart transplant is for Brazilians that are waiting, you know, there's a line, a queue.
Right.
So you can't have a transplant between a dead person and somebody living if you are not Brazilian.
Access to the number of organs that may be available,
the heart,
would be for Brazilians.
Exactly. But
and And there's usually a shortage in every country of hearts that would be appropriate. So,
And this is very rigidly enforced, exactly like in the U.S. You know, it's centrally controlled.
If, as you say, you have a living donor who's willing to work with you and would travel with you to this other country and have the transplant, that Brazil is set up to handle that.
Brazil is not only set up. I don't know if you know. You don't have to trust my word. The major transplant surgeon for liver, I think one of the first or second in the world, is here in Brazil, in São Paulo, in the Albert Einstein Hospital. And we have a fantastic, liver and kidney program here. And I know the Americans can't do it, but one of the first heart transplants, you know, the first one was in South Africa, one of the first new techniques developed for heart transplant was done in the heart hospital here in São Paulo.
Uh-huh.
You know, so the transplant program here is very advanced. The quality is very good. The only thing is it can be done for foreigners if you have a live donor.
Right, and the other thing, of course, to look at is how delicate is the condition of the recipient, because people who need a heart transplant are usually not up for a 12-hour ride anyway.
No way, you're right.
But a kidney might work, and the liver one might work.
Yeah,
but again,
might work.
A lot of it is going to be how realistic is it for this recipient to travel.
Yeah. And we got some requests for that. We get some requests from not just from the USA. We get some requests. But what we do in this case, is, which is a very serious medical condition, we take this to the best one or two hospitals, and we let the doctors handle this, the surgeons, and we only interfere after they give their official position, you know, what can be done, what can be done, the aftercare, what, you know. Because in this case, there has to be a protocol between the hospital, the doctor that's sending the patient, and the doctor here and the hospital here that will send the patient back for aftercare. So usually the hospital and the doctors, it's a special case. They need to have a special protocol that is decided on each case, you know, what should be done before he comes and what should be done after he goes away. So it's a it's not that simple. We can handle it because we have all the contacts in the hospital. It's not a plastic surgery, but it's much more complicated. It's a very delicate situation where, you know, it doesn't depend even on how to say, the travel and all that. It depends, first of all, on the medical condition.
Yes. Right.
And I would suggest that whatever surgery, whatever you want to do abroad, dentistry or a small plastic surgery, a nose job, you know, I would suggest never to go, you know, I'll go there and see, find a doctor and see what happens. Now, I would really suggest the people to research first, you know, contact companies like ours, speak with us, see what have doctors asked for, all the curriculums, what's the doctor's latest history in this kind of surgery, his rate of success. I would ask to speak personally with the doctor, phone conference, you know. I would really research into this. I think this is very important for the person to feel, you know, that he's doing the right thing.
Right. And we're down to the last minute. So is there anything else you'd particularly like to leave with our
audience? No, I would like
to
say thank you for the opportunity. And it was very nice. I think maybe I spoke too much.
No, you did fine. Thank you.
But I hope your listeners enjoyed it, and it's later on, next day, next month, they have any questions, don't hesitate. We're there to help them.
Great. And your website is?
It is easy. It's info at Sphera, Sphera with S-P-H-E-R-A, international, but it's in not the last T, international. It's like international, but the last T is a C, .com.
Okay. All right. So
and that's basically it. Yeah, yeah. But if they want, I can do something easier. If they want to have a U.S. phone where they can call our office and get all the info they need. Can
okay.
I give it? It's 201-641-1911.
1911, and I'll put that in the handout at powerfulpatient.org as well.
Okay.
Thank you very much to Alex Lifshitz from Sara International in Sao Paulo, and thank you for joining us, and thank you, everybody, for being with us today. I hope that you have a great week and that you'll join us again next week. We're going to talk with the author of a book called How to Be Sick, How to Make Peace with Having a Chronic Illness that you get to manage your whole life. So be well, everybody, and be with us next week. We hope that you will always be well and be a powerful patient. Thank you so much. Bye-bye now.
Bye.